Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus to give you honor and glory and praise and to say thank you, Lord God. Father, we so appreciate, Lord God, all that you're saying, all that you're doing. We thank you for the apostolic. Thank you, Lord God, that you have made us a part of the apostolic here in Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. Thank you, Lord God, for our apostle. Thank you for all the instructors. Thank you for every student, every home, every family, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, we do acknowledge you. We do invite you. We welcome you. And we need you. We're trusting you to unfold and to reveal to us tonight all that the Father would have us to see, to know, to understand. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, I left here last week feeling like, well, it's not enough. It's not enough. I need to say a little bit more. We're still talking about prayer and faith. Remember that? Prayer and faith. And Mr. Bounds wrote that you can't really talk about prayer without talking about faith. And you can't talk about faith without talking about prayer. And we looked at what I call some very, very foundational scriptures over in Mark 11, verses 22, 23, 24. You know, verse 22, it says, have faith in God. Jesus said that, right? And we know that there are some translations that says, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. But the main thing is that in our relationship with God, we must have faith. Amen. And we must learn how to operate in faith effectively in order to be able to achieve the results that we keep talking about. We say we want results, right? So, you know, we have to understand faith, how to operate in faith. We also looked last week at Hebrews 11 and 6. Remember that? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, remember? And that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith, okay? So I was trying to explain that faith is of the heart, that faith is spiritual. It's in your spirit. Y'all remember that? And I use the term mental assent, remember? And I said, you know, it's just when you got, it's in your head and you think it's faith, but it's not really faith. It's just you agreeing with God. Well, I went home and I pulled out one of my old books from when I was in school here. And I found this lady, her name is Miss Newsom. Oh, well, here it is. N-U-Z-U-M. I can't tell you a whole lot about this lady because her book doesn't tell us a whole lot. It's a little bitty book, and the name of the book is The Life of Faith. But Ms. Newsom, she makes it real, real plain. She says there is head faith and there is heart faith. Okay? Head faith and heart faith. Now, when she's talking about heart faith, she's talking about faith of the spirit. She's not talking about the soul. She's talking about of the spirit. And it was just amazing as I was just rereading just one of the chapters, and it says head faith and heart faith. She says God looks at the heart. Right? We all agree with that? Well, you know that. That's in the Bible. God looks at the heart. And she says, when we don't have faith in our heart, it is nothing for God to see. She said, God does not look at our head. He's not looking at our head for faith. So we can have all the faith in our head that we want, but it's not going to do us any good because God is looking at the heart. And I said, oh, my God, you know, has this happened to us? You know, we think we have faith in the heart, and it's all in our head. Amen? All right. So I'm going to read you a couple things to help all of us, because I found myself trying to identify. Now, do I have faith in my head, or is it in my heart? Okay? So she starts off, she says there's head faith and there's heart faith. She said the head faith brings us nothing. It doesn't achieve anything. So that explains why some of our prayers look like, you know, they weren't answered. Amen? She says the heart faith brings us everything that Jesus secured for us, which is perfect rightness in spirit. Then she goes on to give us a little bit more detail. She said the head sees, understands, and count things true, but only the heart can appropriate or lay hold of and cling to things that are freely given to us of God. The head looks at the surroundings, the difficulties, and hindrances. She says the heart looks at the thing desired and the promise of God and refuses to see the hindrances. Amen. That's how you can know. You know, this is helping us to know whether it's head faith or whether it's heart faith. She says, it is the heart faith that laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Amen. She said, head faith is strong when things are favorable, but the heart faith is just as strong when all things are against it, because it rests on the Almighty God who rules over persons, powers, and things. She says head faith grows weak and fails when the answer is delayed. But heart faith says, I received when I prayed. And the answer is as much mine now as it will be when I have it manifested. Amen. 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 Talking about head faith. I want y'all to remember that. Head faith, faith, and heart faith. Okay, online students, are y'all listening? Head faith and heart faith. She says, head faith says, be careful not to profess until you can see. For by so doing, you may bring reproach on the cause. That's what head faith said. See, it's reasoning. It's reasoning. You know what I'm saying? Finding excuses. She says, but heart faith says, the thing I'm asking is sure to appear soon and confirm. The heart will, you know, she's saying the heart faith is going to say, it's going to confirm my profession. And I shall honor his cause, because God always rewards faith. Head faith says there might be a failure. Heart faith says, because of God's promise and his oath to keep his promise, it is impossible for failure to come. Amen. Head faith says, I trusted until I saw everything getting worse. You know, I'm trusting until I see things getting worse. Heart faith says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That's what heart faith is saying. The head reasons. You just remember that. The head reasons about things. And then she talks about in God, tells us, cast down all of these reasonings, imaginations. Y'all have heard that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The heart lays hold of things that are beyond all reason. Think about that. When you're in heart faith, it lays hold of things that are beyond all, don't make sense. It just don't make sense. It holds fast and expects God to do things that are impossible, contrary to reason. The head, on the other hand, investigates as to how God is working, how he's going to do this. So when you find yourself saying, how? Amen. That's head. Amen. You know, the heart always remember it's going to say, it shall be done. It shall be done. Amen. Let me see if I got any more. I mean, she says so much, and it's only just a few pages. Okay, and that's what I really really wanted you to know, that she was talking about, you know, faith being of the heart, not in the head. And so, you know, I'm not a good poker player. I had to give you my hand before. Before I even started. Amen. I wanted you to know that. But does that help you to have a better idea of faith and pinpointing when I'm really in faith or when is it just in my head? You know, when faith is in your heart, when it's real, when it has become a part of you, you no longer reason. And remember now, Mr. Bounds, he did a good job of talking about the person. You know, we got to know who gave us the promise. Right. That it was God himself. And he talks about it. He says, when Jesus said, all power is in my hand, that Jesus was inspiring us to have faith in what it was that he said. And that when we come to him and ask him, you know, because he's got all power, everything is under his authority, that we can trust and have faith that he is going to do what it is that we're asking him to do when we're asking in accordance with his word and with his will. Amen. 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 There was one other thing I was thinking about. It's going to come back. Okay, for those of you who left a little early last week, remember I was sharing with you that there was some things. What it was, that wasn't a Psalm 91. Anyway, I was reading. It was doing a devotional time. And then all of a sudden, you know, I start hearing these words. And then the first one was, it's already done. Oh, no. No. You know the outcome. You already know the outcome before you even pray. Amen. That's why you can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why. Because when you have God's word and you're praying his word back to him, okay, that's the outcome. The word of God is the outcome. And you say, okay, this is already done. Jesus has already accomplished this. I already know how this is going to turn out. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for good. Amen. So I know that however this turnout is going to be for my good. Then, because you already know the outcome, then you can pray because you know it's already done. It's already done. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Remember, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I told you how excited I got when Apostle gave me the revelation. I had been reading that verse for months, but I had no revelation. And he said, it's already done. And it's like, oh my God, now I see. It's already done. You have it now. Amen. Okay, you know the outcome. It's already done. You have it now. But remember, you're being taught. Where is it? It's in your spirit. It's on the inside. Amen. It's on the inside. And so what you have to do is get with God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Let's get it out of there. Amen. Let's get it out of there. Just know, though, it's already done. I have it now. Okay? And then when Jesus says, it is finished. Remember? It is finished. That's it. It's a wrap. I like that word. It's a wrap. So, you know, when you pray and these, phrases, statements, truth, these truths of God's word come to you, then you can pray boldly. Then you can pray in faith, knowing that I have it now. You're not going to ask God for anything that's not in line with his will. Nobody in this room is going to ask God for anything that's not in accordance with his will. Sometimes I think we get a little apprehensive because it's not in the word what job to take, you know. So should I take this job? Should I take that job? Should I move to this city? Should I move to that city? Well, I mean, you know, what you want, what you want. You know, consider everything, especially anybody who's a member of Word of Life Christian Center or any of the LTMA churches. You know, you're going to pray and you're going to definitely ask God for guidance before you leave, you know, your church. Lord, you know, what you want me to do? And then that brings into God is going to be, he's going to lead us. He's always going to lead us in accordance to his word, his will, and his purpose. And we have to know how God leads us. Amen? Amen. The number one way is the inward witness. I know y'all know that, right? How many of y'all know that? You didn't know that. Inward witness. It's the inward witness has been defined as just a knowing on the inside of you. You just know. It's like, I think Brother Hagin has described it as like a velvety green light feeling. You know, I just notice is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, I'm told that this is the way that God primarily leads most of us, the inward witness. Then there's the still small voice. It's the voice of, I think of it as my born again, recreated human spirit. It starts to speak to me. It starts to tell me something. I think the first time I heard, I knew nothing. I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. But I kept hearing this voice on the inside say, tell her you believe. You know, and you got to understand, I came up in a time where they say you had to pray, you had to see some things. And my grandma thought I was going to do cartwheels when I got born again. She really and truly did, you know. And when I didn't do that, you know, she was like, well, let's go. No, she sent me back. she sent me back a couple times. She said, you ain't got nothing, you know. But, you know, and I understand now, because they wanted you to have an experience with God that said to you, you are born again. That's what they wanted. Now, I understand that. Matter of fact, that was the first revelation I received, was that I didn't have to do everything that they told me I had to do in order to be saved. But, you know, when I heard that voice, I say, in my head, you're talking about reasoning. I kept saying, she going to send me back. What? And that voice on the inside of me kept saying, tell her you believe. Wow. So finally I said, Grandma, I believe. To my utter amazement, she said, let's go tell the preacher. You know, and it's like, oh, my God. But it was a voice on the inside of me. You know, God is going to speak to you. And a lot of times we think, oh, that's just me. Right. No, you are born again. Right. You are born again. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit is going to start to talk to you. Now, it's been amazing because there have been times those words, I could sense them coming up and out. Whereas here, you know, I know the difference now between in my head and coming up out of my heart. I was laying on the, I was having a test one time, and it's like the words just came from under the sheet. And it's like, well, I'm going to be honest. I said, Lord, is that you? I did, you know. I said, Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you? And I didn't know until I realized that the word that I heard was lining up with the word that I had heard from our man of God. And I said, Lord, that's you. You know? Yeah, that's you. And so then you have to hold on to that. God is going to speak to us. Everybody in here has faith. You already have it. The Bible says God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It is up to us to take what God has already given us and develop it. Amen? Amen. How do you develop it? Studying the Word. Prayer. I mean, you know, we still need to pray. Amen. We still need to pray. Remember, we're talking about prayer and faith. They need each other. They go together. Amen. Amen. You got to pray. You know, we're all in good Bible teaching churches. You know, avail ourselves. Sit there. Listen to your man, to your woman of God. Amen. Be teachable. Receive it. Amen. Amen. And then our faith is going to grow. Now, what happens is your faith level can be so high today. And then 2 days from now, in that same area, you wonder, well, what happened? I mean, the other day, I was just believing God. I was just believing God. Your faith can be at any given level on any given day. And you just have to go back to the Word of God and pray and build that faith back up to the level that you need at that particular time. I don't know if you've noticed, you know, sometimes you can believe God for a parking space. Most of the time, that's where we all started. You know, believing God for a parking space. You know, apostles say, you know, you're not going to believe God to heal you of cancer if you haven't asked for healing of a headache. Right. So, you know, we've all started small, believing God. But see, when God does that for us, then we know, well, he'll do a little bit more.
Right.
You know, he might give me, help me to get a better job here. He might help me to get a raise.
Right.
You know, he might help me to get a house or that car. I've been, you know, all of these things. But, you know, in all of that, I want you to always give God the glory. Always be thankful. Always acknowledge him. You know, he's the one that did this. I am I'm currently reading the book of Esther. Now, somebody say, well, why are you reading the book of Esther? Well, every time I opened my Bible, it kept falling to the book of Esther. And I said, okay, I'm going to go back and read the book of Esther. But I'm going to read it this time asking God, what are you saying to me, as I've been taught? You know, we've all read most of the Bible already, but we didn't read it asking God to show us what he's saying to us. And, you know, and I saw fasting, which we've been talking about in the book of Esther. Those people fasted 3 days, nothing to eat and nothing to drink. But then I also saw this man by the name of Haman, who had been promoted, and God had blessed him. And he had all this stuff. He didn't give God none of the glory, not 1 ounce of the glory. You know, he kept saying what he was going to do. And then he started listening to people. Well, you ought to do this, and you ought to do that. And it's like, oh, my God. When God promotes us, when he blesses us, always acknowledge him and always give him the glory and the honor for it all. Amen?
Amen.
But then I started seeing faith. Oh, my God, you know, the book is called Esther, but her uncle Mordecai, he was the one. It's like, oh, my God, this man, you know, back in those days, I mean, when you read the book of Esther, and the book of Daniel, I mean, these people believed God so. They, you know, the law said, worship God only. Don't you bow down to nobody else. These people refused to bow even when faced with death.
Yeah.
We're not going to worship you. We just not going to. And Mordecai was so bold, he would even sit at the king's gate. And when they came out, refused to bow, he was not going to do it. But the irony of it all to me was God knew and God knows everything that's going to happen. You know, there I go back to the courts of heaven again. But everything is written in the book. And God already knows. Remember that. He already knows our future. God knew that the decree was going to go out to kill all the Jews. And he needed somebody in the palace. Amen. And God set it up. I mean, Mordecai and Esther, they had to cooperate with God. Because even Mordecai told Esther, well, if you don't do this, you know, our deliverance is going to come from another source. God is going to find somebody to deliver us if you don't do it. And then Esther, based on that, I saw she had faith. She said, if I perish, I perish. And she went on in. And, you know, the whole story was God was able to work it out where all the Jews were not killed, you know, because of that. Fasting, prayer, and faith, it's all in there. Go back and read it for yourselves. Amen? Amen. Go back and read it for yourselves. All right. Now let's see if we can get back to Mr. Bounds. I had to share that with y'all. But that was good, huh? That was good? Yeah, that was good. All right. Let's see where we stopped. I said it already. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he did that to inspire faith in us. Amen. Mr. Brown says faith is obedient. It goes when it's commanded. Isn't that something? Faith is obedient. And likewise, faith acts. So you've got obedience and then you've got faith. He says, like the man who was born blind and was sent to go and wash in the pool. Remember that? And when he went, he came back seeing. So he had to act on his faith. So faith acts. And God is going to tell us to do some things. He's going to tell us to do some things. Sometimes it's going to be things that's not going to make sense. Like I told you, remember now, remember what I started off by saying, what Ms. Newsom said. You know, it's not reasoning. It's going to be things that look like, you know, it's impossible that God is going to tell you to do. You know, go ahead and do it. Be obedient. Faith obeys. Okay? God knows what he's doing. And we just have to trust him. We have to trust him. Amen? Okay. A praying faith keeps the commandments of God. And I made a little note, and this was before Apostle said that. We're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about what God is telling you to do. Whatever he says to you, what? Do it. That's it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And let's see. And faith does those things that are pleasing to God. Faith will ask, Lord, what will you have me to do? Okay, who does that sound like? Well, we got Mary. We got Saul. Remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus? And he got up and he said, well, what would you have me to do? And then that's found over in Acts chapter 9. It says, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Obedience helps faith, and faith helps obedience. You're not going to obey God without faith. Amen. Can y'all see that? You're just not going to do it. You know, you got to know who it is that you're believing in, and then you have to believe that what he's telling you is his word. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. Sowing, that's a good example. That's a good example. You know, we all can relate to that. The Lord says so. And you say, I don't have but $10. And the Lord says, so. And, you know, we might sow five. You know, we got to begin to trust God. He's ready to do it for us. God is really and truly ready to do it. When we look at Jesus' birth, you know, the Bible talks about when the fullness of time was come. You know, I think the fullness of time has come for us. You know what I'm saying? I think he has laid the foundations we've been taught. He's done some things for all of us, and now he is just ready to just show out. Amen. God is ready to show out, But then you're going to have to be in obedience.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. You're going to have to do like Apostle said tonight and hear. That's the most important thing. Hear his voice. And then when you hear it, don't spend 6 months. Is that you? It's okay. It's okay to take 2 days. Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you? And the Holy Spirit will help you. I mean, you know, because that's where foolishness comes in. People jump out there and they do a whole lot of foolish things in the name of faith. Amen. They didn't stay with God long enough for the Holy Spirit to speak to them. You know, Apostle gave the example of a man here in Africa. The man here, I like that one. That's a simple one. And he just packed up his whole family and he moved to Africa. And then finally, he heard the Lord, and the Lord said, I didn't tell you to move. I was telling you to sow a seed or to give an offering, you know, to Africa or support the missionary, you know, in Africa. But all he heard, and we do that. We hear that one word and we assume we know what it means and we just go on all. You know, no. Spend some time with God. Take some time. I didn't say 6 months. It's not going to take that much time to sow $10. You know, you don't need 6 months for that. Now, when he tell you a million and you got a million. No, you got 2 million. And he tell you a million. You might need 6 months. I don't know. I don't know, okay? You know? No, not half a year for $10. Now, maybe for the million. You know, but now don't spend it. You can't spend it in the meantime. You got to let it stay there. And you got to say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to touch it until you tell me what to do with it. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But he's ready. God is ready. I'm convinced. I am convinced he's ready. And we're going to cooperate with him. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Now this one we've already talked about when we talked about perseverance and when we talked about persistence. Mr. Bound says, faith does not grow disheartened because prayer is not immediately honored. You know, just because it doesn't come tomorrow, we don't get disheartened. And now we're talking about that faith that is of the heart. Remember? The faith that's of the heart, not the head faith. Oh, man, it's going to start looking around and calculating and seeing everybody else and all kind of stuff. And it's no. That head faith, it'll be out of there in a second. Faith takes God at his word and lets him take what time he chooses in fulfilling his purpose and in carrying out his word. Faith regards delays as time of testing, where it is privileged to show that it is made of courage and stern stuff. We see this in John chapter 11. Lazarus is death. You know, they send word. Your friend that you love is sick. We need you to come. And Jesus tarried. Jesus knew what he was doing. Amen. He tarried. And in John 11, verses 14, 15, it says, then said Jesus plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Amen. Jesus knew what he was going to do. Amen. And he said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes, that you might believe that he has power to raise the dead. Isn't that something? Then Mr. Bounds, he makes this statement. Now, this is a good statement. He says, fear not, O tempted and tried believer. Jesus will come. I made a note. May not come when you want him. Jesus will come. Mr. Bounds says, if patience is exercised and faith holds fast, his delay will serve to make his coming more blessed. Pray on, wait on. You cannot fail. If Christ delays, wait for him. Then he says, delay is often the test and the strength of our faith. Your faith is being tested and it's being strengthened at the same time. Strengthened and tested. Faith gathers strength by waiting and praying. Patience has its perfect work in the school of delay. Sometimes, now this was too good. Sometimes God has to do many things before he gives the final answer. They are things that are essential to the lasting good of the person who is requesting the favor from him. There are some things that has to be in order sometimes. You know, I don't want to say like a puzzle. I'm trying to think of something that, you know, you got to do step one, step two, step three, step four, for the thing to come out the way it's supposed to. You know, sometimes people have to be moved. Over in Esther, Vashti. I had a hard time trying to figure out, this woman is the queen, and she gonna refuse to go when the king called her. It's like, what happened? What happened? You know, we learned that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I said, Lord, you had to do something to this woman to make her refuse to go to the king. But it was all for the purpose of getting Esther to be the queen, so that Esther could speak to the king and save the Jewish people. God is always working on our behalf. The Rubik's Cube, y'all remember the Rubik's Cube? Y'all might be too young for the Rubik's Cube. There was a Rubik's Cube, and you had to turn and turn and turn and turn and turn and get it all lined up until all of the colors was on every. I had a nephew who could do it. I never could do it. I never did it. I was never successful. But, you know, that's the way it goes. You know, and he's going to turn and turn. Sometimes it's turning you. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we're gonna see where Jacob was going to his brother Esau. And, you know, he wanted Esau to do this and Esau to do that. Mr. Bounds said some things had to happen in Jacob before anything could happen in Esau. Jacob had to get right before Esau had to get right. So God sometimes have to work some things out in us. And some things on the other. He's working on both ends at the same time. Amen. But all we have to know is it's already done. We already know the outcome. We have it now. It's on the inside. Because Jesus has already declared it is finished. Y'all be blessed. I'll see y'all next week.